Kof Vov Mau Cheshvan, Sunday the 27th of November, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, Who Am I? This week's Torah Way has been sponsored anonymously. He wrote Son Shiyizku, Horov, Uzukenov, Lerov, Nachas, Mimenu, Mikol Yosei Cholotsov. May his offspring and family and all who issue from his loins have much Nachas.
Good morning, everyone. It's an absolute honor to be speaking here again. I'm going to go straight into the drosha because I can see the Olam are trying to figure out who I actually am. So let's get straight to it. I'm going to begin with three questions. I'm going to say over the Yasod like I normally do, and then hopefully we'll, if time allows, we'll go a little bit deeper into it. So three questions. Question number one. This week's Parsha's Toldos. The Torah starts off and tells us the whole story. Yitzchak and Rivka were waiting to have children. They waited many years. They davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered their tefillah. Yaakov and Esav were born. And the Torah comes along and in one pasuk describes the relationships between them. The Torah writes, Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav, Verivka oyheves es Yaakov. A very simple pasuk on this simplistic form. Yitzchak had a special love towards his son, Esav, whereas Rivka, she loved her son Yaakov. Okay. The problem is, there's a grammatical discrepancy going on here. It starts off and it says, Vayehav Yitzchok es Esav. Yitzchok loved Esav in the past tense, the Lashon Avar. And it continues and says, Verivka oyheves es Yaakov. Rivka loved Yaakov in the present tense, Lashon Avar. Loves Yaakov. The Torah normally, and doesn't ever do this normally, it doesn't swap over in the middle of a pasuk. And if it does, there must be a reason for it. So what is the Torah trying to imply by changing over from the Lashon Avar to the Lashon Hiveh? It's question number one. Question number two, moving on in the Parshias. Parshias Matos. The Torah tells us that 2.5 Shvatim, they didn't want to go over into Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to stay on the other side. They made a deal with Moshe Rabbeinu. And at the end of Parshas Matos, the Torah describes a few of the walls that they went through. And it ends up like this. V'yo'ir v'menashe, Yo'ir the son of Menashe, holach he went v'yil koydes chavayis sehem. He conquered a town called chavayis sehem. V'yikor esen chavayis Yo'ir. He called the town chavayis Yo'ir, the town of Yo'ir. Beautiful, he conquered it. It was his town. He called it after himself. The pasuk continues. V'noivach holach, there was another person called Noivach, he went. Vayilkoides Knos Vespnoisel, he conquered a town called Knos. Vayikro lo Noivach Bishmoi. And he called the town, again after himself, Noivach. So we've got two people, one of them called Yoe, he conquered one town and called it Chaves Yoe. Got another person called Noivach, who conquered another town, he called it Noivach. Okay. Rashi comes along and he says a very interesting point. He says that when the Torah says Vayikro lo Noivach Bishmoi, and Noivach called the town after him, There should be a mapike. There should be a dot in the letter hey. Vayikra lo should be a dot in it. But it's missing, it's not there. Says Rashi, and he brings down from Ramosha Hadarshan, that they're really 100% right, there should be a dot in it. But the Torah removed the dot. Why didn't the Torah remove the dot? Because the Torah wanted to tell us that Noivach's town didn't last. And therefore we should read it as if it says Vayikra loy Noivach. It didn't last Noivach. And that's why the dot was removed. A very strange pshat. We know that every single letter, every tag in the Torah, was hundreds of halachas built upon them. And if the Torah is coming along and taking out a dot in the Torah, it must be there's something of great importance it has to tell us. It doesn't sound too important. You have to know, you should know. I'm taking out a dot in the Torah. You know why? Noivach lost his town. Great, I'm so excited. What are you trying to tell me? We'll go through battles. Some we win, some we lose. You lost it. What's the Torah trying to do by taking out a dot to tell us that Noivach's town got lost? So it got lost. Move on in life. What's the problem? And question two, if you look in Shoftim, there it's written clearly that Yoi's town, Chavis Yoi, that lasted ad hayom hazeh, it's written. Yoi's town, taka, did last. So part B of this question is, why did Yoi's town last and Noivach's town didn't last? What's the difference between them? So there's two parts to this question. Question number one, why did the Torah deem it of such great importance? It had to tell us that Noivach's town didn't last. And part B is that what's the difference between Noivach and Yoi, that Yoi's town did last Atayemazeh, and Noivach's town didn't last? That's question two. And one more question to end off with. In Parshas Nitzavim, the Torah starts off and it says, Atem Nitzavim Ayoim Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Aleikechem, and it goes through Roshechem, Shevteichem, it goes through everyone, and it ends off with Gerecha Hashem B'Sharecha, Mechoyte Veitzecha Ad Shev Meimecha, from the woodchoppers until the water carriers. Comes along Rashi, and he's got a whole long story. Says, Rashi, you want to know who these woodchoppers and water carriers are? I'll tell you who they are. Says, in the times of Yeshua, when Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Canaan, and they were conquering all the various the nations, the seven nations of Ebuchadnezzar to kill. So there was one nation which was absolutely terrified. Klal Yisrael had a very powerful army. And this nation disguised themselves. And they pretended they were someone else. And they came along to Yeshua. They made a whole pact with him that he wouldn't hurt them. And afterwards he found out who they were. But obviously he couldn't kill them anymore. A deal is a deal. And therefore, what happened was Yeshua said, you know what, instead you'll be Klal Yisrael's water carriers and woodchoppers. That's the story that happened. Says Rashi, the same story happened in Moshe Rabbeinu's time. Klal Yisrael were powerful, they were conquering nations, they were having atzlacha, and there was a nation who was very scared. So they did the same thing as what happened in Yeshua's time. And when Moshe Rabbeinu caught them out, he made them woodchoppers and water carriers. And that's what the Torah is referring to in Parshas Nitzavim when it says, Mechoyte Veitzecha Ad Shev Meimecha. It's referring to these goyim, to this nation who lied and got themselves out of being killed. And they became our woodchoppers and water carriers. The question is, where does Rashi get it from? By Yeshua, it says clearly in Nach, it says clearly the whole story. But if Rashi's coming along and telling us this story here in Parshas Nitzavim, then Rashi must have had a hechruch. There must have been something pushing Rashi to say that this Choyte Veitzecha is referring to Goyim. What's pushing him? Why can't he say he's talking about some Eden? No, some Eden were woodchoppers, some Eden were water carriers, and they're included. We're talking to everyone. What made Rashi want to change from the simplistic pshat and say we're talking about non-Jewish people? These are the three questions. So question number one, in Parshas Toldos, when it discusses the love towards Yaakov and Esav, why does the Torah change from the past tense to the present tense? Question number two, in Parshas Matos, why is it that the Torah deemed so important that Noivach lost his town? And also, why did Yoi's town last and Noivach didn't? And question number three, in Parshas Nitzavim, we're trying to work out, where did Rashi get it from, that when it says, Mechoyte Veitzecha Ad Shev Meimecha, that's referring to Goyim. Okay, so let's try and get into it. Let's start with a story. Briskirov, who's Yodua, Big Godel, lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they say a very interesting story. Many people came to visit him, whether it was Talmidei Chachamim who wanted to talk to him in learning, whether it was people who wanted to come for advice, for counsel, and whether it was just dumb people who wanted to be able to gaze at a Talmud Chacham, a Godel Adoy. So they say a story about America and a tourist. He comes over from America, he's in Israel, and he hears about this great rabbi. He wants to go and visit him. It's not like it is nowadays. You don't have to get through seven channels, gaboim, slipping money here. It's very easy. He goes to Briskirov's house. He knocks on the door and he's inside. Briskirov sits him down and they start talking. And Briskirov says to him, so who are you? He says, I'm a lawyer from downtown Manhattan. I'm a lawyer. Fine. Briskirov carries on talking to him. And again, 2 minutes later, Briskirov says, tell me, who are you? Briskirov is an older person. He said, I'm a lawyer in downtown Manhattan. That's my job. Fine. Very nice. Carry on. Again, 2 minutes later, Briskirov says again, so tell me, who are you? The guy looks at him. He's like, he said, maybe Briskirov wants to know more about my job. He says, I'm a lawyer in Manhattan. We specialize in estates and we do insurances. And he started giving a whole long list of everything he does. Briskirov sitting there looking at him. He said, I want to tell you something. I never asked you what you do. I asked you who you are. Again, Briskirov said, I didn't ask you what your job is, what you do in life. I asked you who you are. And with that, Briskirov stood up. He went to his shelf and he took out a sefer Yonah. And he opened it up. We all know the story of Yonah. He was running away, kavyachol, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was in the boat and there was a massive storm raging outside. People are running around, panicking, davening and praying to the Avodah Zarahs. And Yonah's sleeping peacefully downstairs at the bottom. So that it relates there that the captain's going along and he sees Yonah sleeping there and he wakes him up. And he says, Miato, who are you? And Yoina looks at him and he says, who am I? Ivri Onoichi. You know who I am. My identity. My identity is that I'm a Yisrael. I'm a Yid. That's who I am. And with that, the Rishkov turned around to the tourist. And he said to him, when someone asks you who you are, your identity is something which will never change. You're a Yid. If someone asks you what your job is, what you do, your job is to be a lawyer. But that's not who you are. Nowadays, especially, there's a big phenomenon occurring, which the developmental psychologists already started many, many years ago discussing it. They coined the term the identity crisis. We all know we're sitting on a chair. If you take a chair and you break its leg, it can't be used for the purpose it was made. It's no longer a chair. If you take a window and smash it, it's no longer a window, it's a shard of glass. If a child's grown up, all his life, his dream is, I'm going to be a footballer. That's who I am. And day and night, he's always thinking about football, playing football, everything about him is football. And then lo yaleinu, something happens to the child and he can't play football anymore. The child says, who am I? The child feels like he's lost his identity because he allowed his personal self, his identity, to become interwoven with the external actions that he does. And when someone allows their external actions to become a part of them, that's when this identity crisis begins. But like Erikson, who came up with this term identity crisis, obviously he was a Yid, like most psychologists, a non-religious Yid, when he claimed that this identity crisis, in his own words, he wrote, and believed it was one of the most important conflicts people face in development. He says, identity is not something which is just confined to adolescence. Instead, it's identity is something that shifts and grows throughout life as people confront new challenges and tackle different experiences. When it comes to the non-Jewish people especially, where they haven't got this identity that Klal Yisrael have, that we are Yidden, the challenges that they get are far, far more difficult. One of the big journalists in America, already 30, 40 years ago, he wrote a whole article, Roger Simons, he writes there that he used to go to cocktail parties. He said weekly he used to go. And he said it was every single time the same story. 5 seconds into the conversation, he used to meet someone new, and he said, oh, so who are you? He writes in America, everything was dependent on your social standing, on your hierarchy. You want to know who you are? Depends on your job, depends on how much money you have. That's who you are. And he got tired of it. So he decided, you know what, when someone asked him who he is from now on, he said, I'm an undercover agent for the IRS. He said, funnily enough, the conversation terminated 2 seconds later. But he was trying to bring out this idea. They actually say a story about a guy, a funny anecdote about a guy who was late at night. He was desperate for somewhere to sleep. And he sees a hotel. He goes into the hotel and he says to the proprietor, listen, I know it's late at night. I need a room just for 2-3 hours to sleep. Right, he looks at his, looks on the computer. He says, I'm sorry, it's all booked up. He says, please, you're talking about 2-3 hours. Mike, I've got a plane at 4:30. You're talking mummish 2-3 hours, something, somewhere. So he looks again, the proprietor. He says, you know what, I've got a room upstairs. There's someone sleeping there already. But there's 2 beds. There's another bed there. If you go in very quietly, then you can go there. He says, brilliant, fine. He started talking to the proprietor. And the proprietor said, and by the way, your roommate is a professional clown. Okay, very interesting. So he turns to go to bed and he says to the proprietor, listen, I have to get up at 4:30 tomorrow. I'm not going to wake up myself. Do me a favor and wake me up. So it's fine. So 4:30 the next day, the proprietor comes along and he wakes up this guy. The guy gets up, he dresses, and off he goes. He goes into the taxi and the taxi driver turns around with a massive grin on his face. He's like, hello. The guy's looking at him, why is he such a nice hello? Gave a good morning back. He pays the driver, he goes to the airport, and wherever he's going, he's getting these grins and smirks, and people are passing comments. Doesn't know what's going on. So he goes to the bathroom in the airport to look at himself, and he looks in the mirror, and he sees a clown looking back at him. He says to himself, oh, that proprietor's such an idiot. He woke up the wrong guy. So what's the idea that we're trying to bring out? When a person comes along and he judges himself through his external appearance, through the actions that he does, then the problem is that he starts getting mixed up. He doesn't know who he is any longer. Like the famous non-Jewish saying goes, they say that you're only as good as your last success. It's a very scary comment. You're only as good as your last success. You know who I am? Look at my successes. That's who I am. If I did well, then I'm big. If I didn't do well, then who am I? Let's try and get it back to the questions. We started off and we said, the Torah says, Vayeehav Yitzchak Esav, in the Lashon Ovar. We said, why is it in the past tense? The answer is, they say in the name of Dovna Magid, I haven't found it yet, but the answer is that Esav identified himself as an Ish Tzayid, as a hunter, as a gibbor, as a fighter. That's who he was, that's how he identified himself. And everything, you want to know who I am, he said, I'm the guy who killed that animal the other day. I'm the guy who won that battle the other day. Esau's identity was interwoven with his last successes, with his previous actions. And therefore, when the Torah wants to bring out to us the way that Esau introduced himself and expressed himself, the Torah says, Vayeehav Yitzchak es Esav, that Yitzchak only knew Esau through his past experiences, the Lashon Ovar. That's why the Torah says in Lashon Ovar, to show us this idea that that's how Esau showed himself to other people, that's how he expressed himself. I am that person. That was my success. My identity is dependent on my past. We'll come back to Yaakov in a minute. The next question in Parshas Matos, we said that Chavis Yo'eh, his town lasted Loilam Voed. Noibach, he lost his town. What's the difference? Yo'eh conquered the town. Fine. He conquered a town, he owns a town, he's a rich man. There's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with having property. The question is how you associate yourself with it. Yo'eh came along and he called his town Chavois Yo'eh, the town of Yo'eh. Fine, I'm Yo'eh, I conquered a town, and I'm calling it the town of Yo'eh, because it's mine. Noivach came along, Vayikro lo Noivach Bishmoi. He didn't call it the town of Noivach. He called it Noivach. This town is me. He associated himself with his property, with his money. If someone tries identifying themselves with their money, you know who I am? I am Noivach, this is me. Says the Torah, Vayikro lo Noivach. It's not going to last. It's not possible for it to last if you have such a hashkofa. And the Torah deemed it of such great importance that the Torah felt it had to take out the mapikei in order to tell us this hashkofa. That if you call your money, if you call your property me, it's not going to last. That's not you. You are Ivri Anochi Yid. Whereas by Yo'eh, who understood this concept and called it Chavos Yo'eh, the towns of Yo'eh, fine, there's nothing wrong with that. That's Parshas Matos. And the question from Parshas Nitzavim, that we said, Rashi says it's referring to non-Jewish people. And we asked, how does Rashi know that? But again, the answer is simple. If the Torah is coming along, and it's willing to call people, you are a woodchopper, you are a water carrier, that can't be referring to a Yisrael. A Yisrael isn't a woodchopper. A Yisrael's identity is a Yid. My job may be to carry wood, to cut wood, or to carry water. But don't say that I am a woodchopper. That's not me. I am a Yid. My job is to do something else. And if the Torah went along and it called people a woodchopper, that intrinsically, you know who he is? He's a woodchopper. It must be the Torah is referring to Goyim. And that's how Rashi came along with his pshat and said that it must have been the same story that happened in the time of Yeshua. That's the answer to the three questions. So this is part A. Part A we're saying is that a person has to be clear and understand in life who he is and what he does. They're two separate entities. Who I am, Ivri Anochi, I'm a Yisrael. What I do in life is something external to me, it's not me. Obviously, even Yidden go through different transitions in life, different stages in life where we have to cope with them. But because we know who we are, we know before the challenges come who we are, we can cope with it because we have a direction. We got a Torah, we got a Shulchan Aruch, we got people who understand who can direct us. So it makes it much easier. The problem is, by the Umay Sa'ilam, where they start off without an identity and they don't know who they are, and the whole world is open to them, they can do what they want, that's when the trouble begins. And that's why it gets so bad that you even got children who are 5, 6 year old being asked what they want to be. What type of gender they want to be. It's for this same reason, because the world's open. I can be whatever I want, and I don't know what to be. So in Mela the crisis begins. But if Klal Yisrael remember, and don't allow this spirit of immorality to permeate into our midst, we don't allow it to come in, And we remember constantly, in Riyam Eichi, that we've got a direction. We have an identity. We know who we are. That's part A. Let's go a little bit more inside it. So until now, we've explained that nothing can become part of our identity. We are Ivri. But the Sfarim do speak out that there are some things that can become a part of our identity. They speak it out by tefillah. They speak it out by Torah. And they speak it out by certain mitzvot aseh, mitzvot lo aseh. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Va'onoichi tefillah. I am tefillah. I am tefillah. Very strange wording. So Rosh Hashanah already explained he meant to say that I daven a lot. But with what we're saying, it's very understandable. David HaMelech was telling us that when a person connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person builds up a relationship, this relationship doesn't have to be something external. It's something which becomes part of the person's very identity. He is a person in Ish Tefillah. I am someone who is connected to Hashem. I am someone who has that relationship. By Tefillah is something which can become part of my identity. The same is by Torah. The stipler comes along and he asks a very interesting question. He says, we say every day, V'seibili beinu, put it in our hearts, lil moid l'lamid. In fact, the stipler, our hearts. I don't need the heart. I need a brain. Give me a brain. I can analyze things. I can ask good questions. I can understand things. I don't need a heart. I need a brain. And the stipler said his very famous words at the time. He was referring to someone. A person, a great, he knew literally, Kala Tayyar Kula, a massive man. And the stipler said about him, a chamor noisei sal. A donkey carrying a minister. What was the stipler trying to say? The stipler was trying to say that in the olden days, the method of transport was with donkeys. A donkey sometimes carries normal people, and sometimes it carries distinguished people, more choshever people. When a donkey carries a melech or a minister, it doesn't change the donkey status. The donkey is going to stay a donkey, and it's not going to be more than what it is. So at the stipend, you get some people who learn Torah, but the Torah they learn doesn't change them at all. They remain the same person because the Torah for them was just some analytical approach, some approach which allowed them to use their brain, some brain workout. But we're davening, said the stipler, out tefillah is the same belibenu. Let the Torah penetrate us. Let it become part of me. Let it go to my very bones and become part of my identity. I'm someone who learns Torah. That is me. It's the same idea as what we're saying now. Torah tefillah is something which can really become a part of us. The Ponovitz Rov used to say, let's start like this. We said on Friday night, Eish Eschayil. It's a very interesting contradiction. We start off and we say, Eish Eschayil V'yimtzah. A woman of valor, very hard to find. And we carry on and we say, Rabbi Sponus Eschayil, there's loads of them. Make up your mind. There's loads of them, or there's very hard to find. But with what we're saying, it's much easier to understand. Eish Eschayil, someone who's intrinsically an Eish Eschayil, someone who intrinsically is special, someone intrinsically has got good midas, that is very hard to find. Rabbi Sponos Osu Chayil, there's many girls who do the actions of a Chayil, externally, whether they're doing it because they want to get in somewhere, whether they want to impress someone else, for whatever reason, it's external. These people, there's loads of these people. But if you want to find someone who intrinsically, it's part of their identity, that's already Eish Eschayil Miyimso. And the truth is, this idea that these things can become a part of us was already proven by atheists. The newspaper, the New York Times, had a whole article in 2009 where you've got two guys and they write there that they were sworn atheists. They don't believe in God, nothing. But they spent 8 decades of research, they write, trying to work out about religion. And they concluded like this. They have reviewed 8 decades of research and concluded that religious belief and piety promote self-control. These goyim have come along and have said that a person who is religious, it promotes within him self-control. They carried on and they say religious people tend to do better in school, live longer, have more satisfying marriages, generally happier. They say that brain scan studies have shown that when people pray, there's a lot of activity in two parts of the brain. These people have come along, goyim, and they've said, we're telling you 100% clearly that people who are religious can have a massive effect physically on their body. Their brains change. There's something different about them. Your identity changes. When someone identifies themselves with Torah, with Tefillah, with, let's say, a loisasi of Emes, a person could be an Ish Emes. You know, I am an Ish Emes. It's not just the name. Intrinsically, you become a different person. You're an honest person. That's part of your identity. So, part B is that we're saying, even though our identity is Ivri Onoichi, nevertheless, there are things which can become a part of this identity. Torah, Tefillah, Maisim Tovim, certain mitzvahs. Let's try to bring it off to one offshoot. Let's speak about the Inyan Chinuch. The Panovichov comes along and he asks a very interesting question. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't allowed. And the Torah says the whole story in Parshas Chukas, what happened. The Klal Yisrael were desperate for water and they cried out. And Hashem told Moshe, go to the rock, speak to it. And he went to the rock, he spoke, it didn't go, he hit it, water came out. And the Torah ends up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yan lo hemantem bi, because you didn't believe in me, like the Shani, to sanctify my name, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. Fine. The Rishonim grapple. They're very, very unsure. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do wrong? What was his Aveira? So Rashi comes along, and Rashi says, you know what Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong? He called Klal Yisrael Mamrim. He said, you are rebellious people. I don't remember his exact lashon. Shimu no Hamoyim. Listen to me, rebellious people. And that because of that, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you're calling my nation rebellious people. You're not going into Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban comes along and he says, I don't understand. If you look earlier on in the Parsha, it says there that Moshe Rabbeinu called them rebellious people as well. And he didn't get punished. Earlier on it says, Mamrim Hegisem Im Hashem. You are rebellious with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we don't see any punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't look too angry with him. So what's different here? And because of this, the Ramban argues with Rashi and he gives a new pshat. Says the Panovich Rav, that's Kolok in Gantz. He says, when Moshe Rabbeinu called them on Mamrim Hegisem Im Hashem, he said your actions were rebellious actions. The things that you did weren't good. Okay, there's times in life that we do actions that aren't good. They're rebellious actions. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem was when Moshe Rabbeinu gave them a label. He says, and he called them rebellious people. When a person goes along, when Moshe Rabbeinu went and he said, you are rebellious, that is when the problem begins, because you labeled them. You gave Klal Yisrael an identity. You said, you are rebellious people. HaKadosh Baruch says, no. My people are not rebellious people. My people are Klal Yisrael and they're good people. Their actions may have been rebellious actions, but they themselves intrinsically, they're perfectly fine. They say in Chinuch the same idea. If a person goes along and says to his child, you are bad, you are naughty, it's wrong. The child isn't bad. The child isn't naughty. The child is pure. The child is perfect. His actions may have been bad actions. His actions may have been naughty actions. But that doesn't have to mean that he is naughty, that he is bad. He is perfect. It's the way that we label people that we have to be careful of. And that is the yesod that we're seeing with Hashem today. Yesod number one, that our identity, we must never get mixed up between who we are and what we do. Who we are, every Anoichi, we are Yidden. Number two, we said, there are some things which can become a part of our identity. Torah, Tefillah, Maisim Tovim, they can become a part of us. And number three, we saw an offshoot, Linyan Chinuch, to be careful when we speak to other people or to children, how we label them. Shkech.